And we're now going to read from God's Word, the second letter of Timothy, chapter 4. Just five verses, and we're going to read these words. If you have the large print Bible, it's page 1269. I'm afraid you'll have to find it if you've got the small print Bible, unless somebody calls out the page. But it's 2 Timothy, chapter 4, from verses 1 to 5. The heading is Preach the Word. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand these words, and we can only do so properly but with the help, with the aid of your Holy Spirit. Give each one of us now that Spirit to see what these words are saying to us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My title for tonight is Preach the Word. It starts with a P, preach the word, and I have five P's tonight as headings, and it's quite easy because each relates to a verse. So we're going to be looking at verse 1, then verse 2, then verse 3, then verse 4, then verse 5. And the first part of this chapter, the first verse, I'm going to take the sense of it in the presence of God. In the presence of God. That's the expression used by the Apostle Paul. And can we remind ourselves that this letter was written to a particular person by the Apostle Paul, who was in prison and awaiting martyrdom. He was in prison. We read verse 8 of the second letter of the first chapter. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. In verse 8 of chapter 2, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. So he is in prison, awaiting martyrdom. I've said before, and others have said, that you're looking at an older Christian, and whether we imagine his life to be ebbing away because of his age or infirmity or illness, or whether he's awaiting a martyrdom, and that's the expectation just around the corner, he has these very last words, as he thinks, to Timothy, a particular person. And let me remind you who Timothy was. He was a disciple, a follower of Paul. He'd been converted. He knew the scriptures from childhood and had been listening and following and watching the life of the great apostle, and had become himself a church leader. And Paul is giving him a charge as he envisages he's leaving this life behind. So verse 1, in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul, in writing these words, makes it a very serious charge, a very serious word. He says, I'm telling you this in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. So he prefaces, he begins these closing exhortations with the sense that he's saying these things in the presence of God. I was given a lovely little book by Tim. I'm very grateful for it, on the joy of service. Very helpful, very encouraging. And he says there in the book, Julian Hardiman says this, in all of the labors of preparing to preach, God is there with me. It is up to me how I recognize and realize this presence and how much I try to operate effectively on my own. For the preacher who is attentive to the presence of God in his word as he prepares, a wonderful discovery awaits. The word speaks to you. He speaks to you. The magnificence of what is being said fills your vision. The word confronts me. And the Apostle Paul gives us the sense of that, that what he's saying now, he's saying in the hearing and in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. He has been speaking to Timothy about the past. In the chapter before, he speaks of you have followed my teaching. In an even earlier chapter, he's spoken of I'm reminded of your faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. In other words, that he was brought up by godly women. And he's reminding him of the past. He's also, in this previous chapter, speaks of continuing. You followed my teaching, keep following it. He tells him, he encourages him to go on, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. So he's spoken of the past, he's speaking of the present, but there's a sense of the future here as well. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. That's what's coming. That's ahead of us. A time of evaluation and judgment of the living and the dead. I'm not going to go into tonight to the teaching on the second coming, but let me remind you, there is a second coming, and the Christian should live in the consciousness of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he will judge the dead and those who are alive will be caught up with him in the air, the living and the dead. This is a theme throughout the Bible. We could quote many verses just for one. In Hebrews we read, it is given to man once to die, and after that, judgment. But here Paul brings out the fact that not only there is judgment after death, but there's a time coming when the living and the dead will be judged by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the Lord Jesus Christ, rather, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Paul links the appearance of the Lord Jesus, the return of the Lord Jesus, with the kingdom that will have Jesus as king, and praise forever and forever and worship the King. We've sung, all that thrills my soul is you. By the crystal flowing river with a ransomed I will sing. And it speaks of worshipping him, the King, forever. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, you have this sense of the apostle is about to leave this world. He's not going into the shadows, into darkness, he's going into glory. He is going to meet God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's leaving a message for Timothy. And you and I tonight, although it's to a particular person, at a particular time, it's in the Bible for us all to benefit and profit from it. It was a letter that was disseminated widely amongst the churches, sent from church to church. And people read this and learned from it and took it to heart. And tonight I would want you and myself to think, what can I learn from this? It's to a particular person, but what is in there for me? Well, in recent weeks and months, we've seen many preachers die. Mr. Nichols passed away, Gordon MacDonald, Richard Davis, Machynlleth, and preachers leave the scene of their earthly labours. And the Bible encourages others to take up the mantle, speaks to the Timothys of this world. Those who've been called to preach and to teach, and indeed every Christian in one sense, to follow these people. It's a serious charge then by the apostle, the judge of the living and the dead. He uses that expression in Acts 10:42. The appearance and kingdom is an expression here. He's conscious that the Lord Jesus has a kingdom and is a king. So in that consciousness, what does he say? So in the presence of God, what does he say? Verse 2, P again, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Preach the word. Announce. Be a herald. Not an ambassador to negotiate, but a messenger to proclaim. To say what God wants people to know. A messenger with a proclamation that is of tremendous value, of eternal value to our souls. And he tells him when and how. Preach the word instant, says one translation. Be ready, says the ESV. And the sense is this: stand at hand, be ready, be there. Be on the spot is another really good translation. Be on the spot. And as we think of humanitarian aid, Tear Fund and other organizations, they need to be on the spot where the crises are taking place, are happening. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to be on the spot, to be ready, to be at hand, to be where people are, to be where the need is. In season and out of season. Oh, I spent some time thinking about this. With children, with the elderly, at Plaskai Crwn, at the church, in our offices, factories and schools, in the SIAT, in the home groups, in English, in Welsh, in other languages, if we have those. Every opportunity is to be taken. In times of blessing and revival, in times when nobody wants to listen, in times when they are hard and people feel the gospel is outdated, people don't want to know. Preach the word in season, out of season, when there are many people in the churches, when there are two or three or four. Somebody rang me from Stay Little last week. Would I come and preach in 2018, at the end of 2018? I said, will you still be there? Will there be a church there? Will there be a group of people? And she said, well, we're trying to gather as many as we can from other churches. And mindful of this, I said, yes, I'll come, God willing. small groups, instant, be ready, in season, out of season. Dear friend, are you ready to share the good news of the gospel with your friends and neighbours in every place and at every time? You could ask the question, there comes a time when the preacher says, I've been preaching for all these years, I've got nothing left to give. Keep going. When you don't feel like it, preach. And when you feel lifted and helped and encouraged, preach. Preach the word in season and out of season. We've just sung that hymn. I didn't choose it, but I was thinking of this verse. Happy if with my latest breath I might but gasp his name, preach him to all, and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. Well, now I've spoken about preaching, instant, being ready, but it says preach the word. Now, what is that word? What does he mean by that? It'd be so easy to skip perhaps that important point, to miss it. Well, the word is shorthand for the Bible, the message about Jesus Christ. We spoke last week of the timeline of the Bible, of the Genesis to Revelation, of the history of redemption through the ages, God's promises in the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New, the covenant sealed in the death and the blood of Jesus Christ, and the new covenant, the cross foretold, the resurrection promised, and the message that this has happened, and we can share it in our day, that God has given us a wonderful good news to share with others. James Philip uses the word the trajectory of grace. The same idea, that there's a beginning, the creation of the world. We've been looking at Genesis and a man being created and falling. We'll be hearing about that. And sin and disobedience, which brings judgment and death. And then God in his mercy preparing us for his answer to sin and shame. Redemption, preach the word means that. Preach the word is speaking about the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. Preaching the word is what we do when we have a communion, because you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're preaching, you're announcing the death of our Lord as we partake of the communion emblems. When we speak of the Lamb of God, when we speak of reconciliation as we have tonight, when we speak of justification, the Lord Jesus Christ paying the penalty of our sin, and we sinners being justified, being put right, being made clean, having new life and new birth. When Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, he has this great, amazing message to give. He knows that Timothy has heard him preach. He knows Timothy has been saved himself. More than forgiveness, justification, Christ in my place, just as Barabbas was set free and Jesus died, and Barabbas might have said, he's dying when it should have been me on that cross. And that's what the sinner says. It should have been me to be judged and condemned. And the Lord Jesus also deals with the issue of death that follows onto sin by rising again from the tomb. Preach this word, instant, in season, out of season. Not just summer and winter, but when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. And how are we to preach in this verse? Preach the word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, which tells me that there's an element of confrontation in this preaching. Reprove, challenge, confront the sinner with his sinfulness and his failure and his shame. Rebuke and exhort. And I wonder also whether Paul has in mind the whole idea that preaching isn't about just about pulpit or in a large gathering, but counseling, guiding, helping people in different circumstances, applying the gospel to them, sharing with them their difficulties and their questions, and responding, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Howell Harris, the 18th century Methodist preacher, just called himself, he wasn't ordained, and he said, I'm just an exhorter, just exhort. And oh boy, did he exhort. Did he challenge? Did he encourage, reprove, rebuke? So true preaching then has this sense of conviction and of warning and appeal. So we've looked at the P of the presence of God, the P of preaching the word. Why is there a negative sense in the rebuking and reproving and exhorting? Well, look at verse 3 now then. People's attitude. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Oh, they're difficult times, and they are difficult times for us now, aren't they? Difficult times are coming, says Paul to Timothy. And what is going to happen is that people will listen to anything and everything. And they will turn away from truth and from true doctrine, from sound teaching. And there's that expression, itching ears. The gospel doesn't scratch an itch. It crushes and heals. You know, there's an expression nowadays, isn't there? When something is popular, it's gone viral. What are the things that go viral? Things that people find amusing, funny, crazy, bizarre. Nothing that's of sound doctrine, sound teaching. If it's way out, it'll go viral. I can give you an example. The mystery of Sydney's weeping bungalow. Hundreds of Roman Catholics have made a pilgrimage to a suburban house in Sydney in the hope that a mysterious oil weeping from its walls can cure illnesses. It speaks that people claim to have been healed. The number of pilgrims arriving at the house grew after last weekend's announcement by Pope Benedict the 16th that Mary MacKillop, a nun who died in 1909, will become Australia's first saint. It's gone viral. People are rushing to that house because there's a weeping wall there that they think will heal them. Plenty of teachers, but no true teaching. The Apostle Paul says, you keep going and be sober. Don't wander off into myths. Don't listen to fables. There's disdain for the truth. Somebody told me just last week that they went to church and what they heard were stories, not scripture. People twist away to listen to fables, wander off into myths. But we're encouraged, finally, to persevere. Persevere, verse 5. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Be sober-minded, in other words, balanced, careful, not going after anything wild and bizarre, always after a new teaching or a new doctrine. Be sober-minded, be careful, endure suffering, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Now, what is an evangelist? Well, it surely speaks of soul winning, not someone who simply has a title evangelist. We are familiar with tele-evangelists, some with not a good reputation. Do the work of an evangelist surely means reaching out with the evangel, the good news, the gospel, carrying the good news, wanting to spread it, wanting to share it with others. An evangelist is a basic ministry. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, there are those particularly gifted and equipped and are evangelists. But Paul is saying to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, that each one of us is challenged to do that work and to witness to our faith. We read in Acts 8, verse 4, that people were scattered because of persecution and they went sharing the good news. They were evangelizing the new neighborhoods and the new areas. So we read these words then. Paul encourages Timothy in the presence of God. He encourages him to preach the word. He encourages him despite people's attitudes. And he encourages him to persevere and to fulfill his ministry. And surely that's something for all of us, whatever role or gift or place or position that we've been given, we're to fulfill that to the best of our ability. And we're to do this work of evangelizing. Are you doing? Are you fulfilling your ministry? Are we evangelizing and doing the work of an evangelist, even though we may not have that title? Are we sharing the gospel with other people? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, as we read these words of the apostle, we thank you for his spirit, Lord, and we thank you that he said these, sensing what was ahead of him, sensing your presence about him. Lord, we pray that we might preach the word, each one, as we speak with a friend and people that we meet. Lord, help us to be burdened and to fulfill and to use whatever gift or role you have given us. Help us to do it in season and out of season, not to be discouraged, not to give up. Lord, we pray that we might really see the blessing of God in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.